Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. We're currently working through the Lord's Prayer. Last week we studied the second petition in this prayer, Your Kingdom Come, which brings us to the next phrase, which is, Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We are to ask God to do his will when we pray. Your will be done. What does that mean? The word will is not always used in the same way every time it's used. Just like the English word will is not always used the same way. It's just same concept with Greek and Hebrew. The English, Greek, and Hebrew terms sometimes refer to a decision and sometimes refer to desire. All these verses that talk about God deciding something and nothing can stop it are the will of his decision. Acts 2:23, this man Jesus was handed over to you by God's will of decision. God decided to do it. In Ephesians 1:11, same thing. Everything happens in conformity to the purpose of his will. That's the will of his decision. Can't be derailed. It's his perfect plan. It always happens. So, if you lose a loved one, is that God's will? Is it true to say, well, it must have been God's will? The answer is yes, it was God's decision. No, it was not God's desire. The reason it comes off sounding harsh when you say it must have been God's will is because people think in terms of God's desire. Oh, God is up there in heaven enjoying ripping things out of my life that are precious to me. Understanding both sides of this term are crucial for our comfort when we suffer. You have to know that it's not God's desire for you to suffer. If you think God is indifferent about your suffering, he doesn't care about your suffering, or he enjoys causing you grief, you will have a twisted conception of God. But on the other hand, you also have to understand that his perfect plan always happens and never gets derailed. If you lose a loved one, someone died, and you think, well, God had nothing to do with it. It's not his will in any sense. It was just a fluke. It doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have any, there's no comfort that I can possibly gain because it was outside of God's will. That's hopelessness. But if you understand that this is a part of God's perfect plan, I can place my confidence in God's goodness and the wisdom of what he's accomplishing. So to really bring comfort to people who are suffering, we have to understand, was it God's will? No, it was not his desire or pleasure. Yes, it was his perfect plan. We have to understand both of those so we'll know that God is in control and we are not at the mercy of random chance events or the sinful actions of men. But on the other hand, God hates putting you through that suffering, and he won't do so unless it's absolutely in your best interests. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. So, which way, then, is Jesus using the word will here in the Lord's Prayer? Which kind of will is that? Your will be done. Are we praying, God, bring about your perfect plan? Or are we praying, God, bring about your desires? I think the key to answering that question is the very next phrase. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It seems to me it's got to be the will of desire. Because God's perfect plan, the will of his decision, happens on earth just as much as it happens in heaven already. We don't have to pray that that'll match heaven. It already matches heaven. Daniel 4:35, he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Heaven and earth, it's already the same. God's perfect plan, his will of decision, that kind of will. But his will of desire is not carried out on earth like it is in heaven. Jeremiah 32:35, they built high places to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech, though I never commanded that, nor did it ever enter my mind. Literally, it says, nor did it arise in my heart. That's not my will of desire. And yet it happened. Sacrificing their children to false god was against God's desires. And I mentioned Ezekiel 18:31. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. God's decisions take place on earth just as much as in heaven, but not his desires. And so when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, ask that God's desires be carried out on earth just like they are in heaven. God will accomplish his perfect plan on earth, and he can do that a couple of different ways. He can do it through bad things, he can do it through good things. He can accomplish his plan through agape, Bible church, falling into false doctrine, turning away from Christ, and being severely judged on Judgment Day. God can bring himself glory through that scenario. He could also accomplish his perfect plan through agape by us remaining faithful to him and being used by him, which is what he desires. And so when we pray, your will be done, we're asking for that second scenario. That things happen according to his desire. When you present the gospel to someone, God will be glorified whether the person accepts the gospel or rejects the gospel. It glorifies God when people repent and are saved, and it glorifies God when they reject and are punished, and he shows his justice. But it's God's desire that they repent, and so it should be our desire as well. So we pray, let things happen on earth according to your desire and your pleasure, just like they do in heaven, and let your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. So, how is it done in heaven? What's it like up there? I think, first of all, it's just an interesting thing to think about that God has a will in heaven. Did you know that God has a will in heaven? He's got an agenda up there. Places, heaven is not a place where everybody's just sitting around doing nothing. See if you would agree with this logic. Here's how I came to this conclusion. God's will is being done in heaven, therefore something is being done in heaven. Is that, I mean, I realize I'm way out on a limb here on logic, but can I draw that conclusion? If God's will is being done, then something's being done. There's activity going on in heaven, is the point. God wants some stuff accomplished up there, and it's getting accomplished. People are doing it. Father, not just people, angels, all whatever heavenly beings. My grandfather died in 1995. He was a pastor, so prior to 1995, he was a very busy man. I'm guessing he's a lot busier now. These last 15 years, he's working hard at whatever projects the Father's got him working on up there. He's filled with unhindered joy as he carries out the will of his Father in heaven. It always happens up there. And that's our standard. As in heaven, that's our standard. We do not take our cues from the earth. Standard for God's will being done is not set by the average church. It's not set by the average person. We don't look around and say, well, most people do it this way. We're doing it about here, and we're okay, so we're measuring up. We don't compare ourselves with ourselves. Our standard is heaven, nothing less than heaven. We're satisfied with nothing other than that standard, what takes place in heaven. And that's a high standard. In heaven, everything happens exactly according to what God wants, because there is absolute obedience in heaven. Psalm 103:20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. I mean, they just do everything he says. God's desires are performed in heaven through eager, willing, joyful obedience. Remember Gabriel, when he came to Mary, he says, I stand in the presence of God. He sent me here, I'm here. They're just waiting for orders. God speaks, they act. There's never a discussion. That's not how it is here on earth, right? God prods us, and he woos, and he disciplines, and he trains, and he appeals, and he draws, and all this, trying to get us going. In heaven, he just says something, and they just can't wait to do it. His will is always done in heaven. And obedience up there isn't just immediate, and it isn't just eager and willing. It's also constant. Constant. Revelation 7:15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. It's constant. And it's not just constant, it's also genuine from their hearts. And this is really the key to this. What makes God happy really makes the angels happy. They obey, not out of threat of punishment mainly, but because of the desire to just do what God desires. They love it. Luke 15:10. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. God's rejoicing, and so they're rejoicing. He loves it, so they love it. Someone once said, there's only one will in heaven, commenting on this verse. And I think I know what they mean by that, but technically, I don't agree with that. all the angels have a will. They're all capable of having desires and making decisions, but all their decisions and all their desires are in complete, glad harmony with God's decisions and desires. And so Jesus tells us to pray for that kind of a situation here on earth. Now, is that prayer going to be answered? When is that going to happen? When is God's will going to be done on earth totally like that? Well, it's happening now in some measure, and it'll happen at the second coming. After the second coming, it'll happen in full measure. And so just as our prayer for the kingdom involved for it to increase here and now in some measure, and then also praying for the hastening of that day when it'll totally be in place, it's the same thing here with God's will. God, cause more and more of your people to obey you and to do your will. Cause the saints to obey you in greater ways. And on the other hand, we also pray, God, let send your Son and eliminate all rebellion and all evil, everything that's against your will in this world. So we pray for both. Praying for God's will to be done means asking God to carry out His desires. Take a moment to consider what God's desires are for you over the next several hours, and talk to God about it until those desires are also your desires.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.